The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another beautiful fall Sunday morning. I tell you what, we have had incredible weather this past week. Whether you're working outside or whether you've been inside, get those moments where you get out and just to spend some time out in the midst of the beautiful fall of Iowa. The trees are turning, and it is. We're having our frost of the morning. Get up, and the grass is white, and the rooftops are white as well. And it just gives us a hint to let us know that winter is on its way, but until then, we are going to enjoy this fall weather. This is my favorite season of the year to live in Iowa, and I'm just thankful. We are blessed in our state to experience four seasons, without a doubt, where they're unique, they're distinctive, and yes, we experience them all, and it's just good. I'm just watching the farmers out there as they're out there harvesting that grain, and my understanding is the corn and the beans are doing really, really well, and looks like they've had some great progress this past week with the rain that we've had in the previous weeks to get their job and their work done. But we're thankful, and again, I just encourage you folks, as you're traveling down the highways, especially on these busy four-lane roads, and you get these semis out there and these tractors with grain haulers and stuff that are moving, give them a break. Slow down around them and be watchful for them. And maybe sometimes give them a wave. Hey, thank you for doing what you do as being a farmer and producing, as we get to see that in our great state. Also, too, just a few things before we jump into the teaching series this morning. I want you to just remember November 10th. It's our next Vital Gathering meeting, November 10th, and it's at Debbie's Celebration Barn just on the south side of Oskaloosa. If you've never been to that location, it is absolutely, she does a lot of bridal stuff and different things for weddings, and Debbie's just, her and Denny are both great people. But again, it's just a wonderful atmosphere. If you are looking for a place to have a wedding celebration, what a great place. I just want to give them a big plug. They do such a wonderful job, and Debbie does just great work with helping with people. And Denny, I call him the busy bee. He's just out there, and he's a nonstop. He's just out there going full speed all the time, trying to help and make that experience a lifetime moment experience for those couples that go out there and get blessed in marriage. But we at that location, we are also having our Vital Gathering. And this is an all family event, both men, women, kids, everybody. We're excited because we got some cool things that are coming. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit on that night. We're going to have some great food. We're going to have a caterer come in. We've had some outstanding meals, and also too, our Vital Ministries band will be there, and we're just excited. We just got some good band. If you're looking for a night of praise and worship, also a night of hanging out with other people, doing a different, distinctive thing than a normal church night or a church day, where we get to sit and have fellowship with each other and at the same time worship. What a great experience. And also too, we get a teaching again on the Holy Spirit and the power of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And again, that is November 10th, and that will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. You're not going to want to miss out on that event. Also, too, our Vital Ministries, men's ministry, is in full launch season. We are doing the teaching called Followership, as we're going to be talking about more about this morning on our teaching right here on KBOE 104.9 FM. And you're going to get an opportunity, men, encourage you to get plugged into that. Just a lot of good stuff as we study the lives of both Elijah and Elisha, and just some good stuff. And again, I just want to thank you. Maybe today you're traveling down the highway and you've turned us in. I just want to thank you for joining us this morning. I hope it's a great experience and you get a nugget about what is happening, not only what is speaking to us through the Bible, but how it applies to our life today in 2019, of what it can do to transform your life to live a better story. Also, too, maybe you're on your way to church this morning and you've tuned us in. Thanks for listening. We're thankful to be a part of your Sunday. And maybe those of you are tuning in this morning and you're listening right at home, this is your church time. And we want to thank you for participating and joining us today as we join in for Vital Ministries, and just a great time right here on the radio station. But today we're going to start it. We're going to continue our series on followership, but today we're going to look at Why Men Run, Part 2 from last week. Last week, if you remember, in our two-part teaching series on Elijah, on Why Men Run, we saw Elijah running from the rainstorm. A welcoming sight after 3.5 years of drought. And as we know, Israel is already what we would call an arid country. Today, that nation sees about 21 to 22 inches of rainfall annually per year. That's on a normal year. As to Iowa, we get from 26 to 38 inches on an average normal year. Of course, this year in 2019, that is without a doubt, we are greater than that of a way it's how things are playing out. But you can see the kind of the difference of how that arid nation is compared to how it is lush, and we can grow about anything that we want in our great state of Iowa. But we see the prophet Elijah telling King Ahab that rain is coming, and he better get out on the move or he's going to get caught in the rain. So the rain is coming, so Ahab heeds the warning, jumps on his chariot, and heads back to the town of Jezreel to beat the rain. But Elijah, he sees the rain coming, runs down Mount Carmel, and gets superhuman ability to run and passes King Ahab on foot and beats him to town. It's like from the Marvel movie Flash. He's already there. He's running fast, and he's going right past that chariot. And he stands at the entrance only to watch Ahab on his horse being outrun by a man on foot. I can imagine how that sight must have been. But see, what a great moment for Elijah, and running was a good thing at this point of his life. I bet he was exhausted to the point of wanting a tall glass of water and a comfortable bed to simply to pass out on from all the things that he experienced. You ever been to a point of what I call exhaustion, where you're just exhausted, physically worn out from your day-to-day? And in that day, you've given it all that you have. Every July in Iowa makes me think of the hot, exhausting days that we experience, the highs in the 90s, and humidity's running about the same humidity range. And you can't drink enough water to be satisfied in your day. This year was, fortunately, we only had a couple of weeks with that exhausting heat. Sometimes we'll have as much the whole month of July and a big portion of August going, but we didn't have that this year. We had a different kind of season. But I try to think of Elijah as he stands at the gate, exhausted, but yet exhilarated to see as the rain showers are coming. A mountaintop experience for him, no doubt. I can only imagine how that moment must have been. But there are mountains and valleys in our everyday lives, aren't there? Elijah is merely a man like everyone else, as it says in James 5:17. We will see him suffer from discouragement, despondency, and eventual depression. On this occasion, as we read 1 Kings 19, if you're home today and you got your Bibles open, we're going to go to 1 Kings 19. But he's having this moment that we'll see this morning. He can't shake it off. He's going into despondency and even through everything that has happened, and going to the place of where eventually will take him to depression. Depression is big in our nation, as we see the mental health illnesses continually growing at a rapid rate. But this kind of feelings aren't uncommon with other great men that we've seen in the Bible as well. I want you to think with me for a moment as Moses asked God to literally take his life in Numbers chapter 11, 13 through 15. And how about Jonah? After the great revival at Nineveh, he sits down in Jonah 4:3 and asks God to take his life as well. He's out of gas. He's exasperated. He has nothing more to give. And even Paul will give us hints of a despair life, but at the same time, he keeps his eyes on Christ, if you want to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, while he sits in jail fighting discouragement. But he doesn't allow that to overtake him to the point of where these other men wanted to have their lives taken. But I'm sure he had those moments as he was sitting in jail and dealing with things in life. But see, folks, after great victories, the enemy always comes with an attacks on our lives when we're most vulnerable. And a lot of times we'll have great, what I call great spiritual victories. We have these opportunities where we have these mountaintop experiences, where we go to conferences, or where the Holy Spirit is speaking to our lives, or we just experience this great church service. But the only thing is, Monday comes. It comes in such a way that it creates a way of despondency in our lives and just a struggle. But I want you to open up your Bibles this morning, if you can. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 1 and 4. And we'll read what the Bible has to say to us about this man, Elijah, but also at the same time, how it really, truly looks in our own lives and how we can apply it even today. But let's get started. And this is what the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 1. When Ahab got up, he told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sends this message to Elijah. She says this, May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow, if I have not killed you just as you have killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town of Judah, and he left went to the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, he says to the Lord. Take my life. I am ready no better than my ancestors who have already died. So we're going to see some things that are really, really interesting. But let's look at Jezebel herself first and what she's contributing in this portion of the Bible. We'll see three things that I think that how she comes and she attacks Elijah. And the first thing she does is Jezebel, she takes matters into her own hands. She has a weak, insecure husband. He's unwilling to lead in the right way. So she knows that. And she has taken advantage of this moment. So she comes and takes matters into her own hands. Instead of King Ahab saying, I'm going to put a death sentence on Elijah, she declares it. She's the queen. And really, she really doesn't have this right, but she's been given this authority and she's taken over. So we see this whole Jezebel person, this Jezebel spirit overcoming, which is strong in her because she's a Baal worshiper. She's a pagan and she has nothing to do with God herself. She comes from a Canaanite country and doesn't believe anything about Yahweh, the king, the God of all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But see, Jezebel also, too, did the second thing she does is Jezebel did her husband's job in her own way. She does the job instead of Ahab doing it. And a lot of times men will step aside instead of being the leaders that we're called to be and will allow sometimes, now again, an umbrella of mercy on me. And I'm not saying that women are not allowed in leadership. Not at all. We have a great governor. I think Governor Reynolds, she does a fantastic job in our state. I voted for her and I think she does a fantastic job and I believe in her and how she's handling our state. But this is what happened. Jezebel goes and gets in the way of her husband and does the job her way. That was not right to do, and that was not God's ordained moment for that kind of leadership. King Ahab should have been the leader, but also if he'd have been the leader that should have been, he would have saw Elijah as being the true prophet from God himself, but he was swayed by the Baal and by idol worship of another god. The third thing that Jezebel does is she turns to intimidation. She schemes, and when she sees her weak-willed husband, and that he will crumble under pressure, so she intimidates him. And folks, we got to really pay attention to this Jezebel spirit because it is rampant and it is alive in our nation today. We're having this Jezebel spirits and we're seeing that even in the midst of the political agenda even today. And I'm not going to name that, but it is. It's rampant. It's trying to control and even overcome our great nation of what it was. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. The great men of the Constitution, those men that created the beginnings of our nation were God-fearing men, and they led with authority from God above. Now, again, I'm not saying that women can't lead, and again, there are some great ladies that are leading, even our local area. I think some great things. I think of the Brinks and some of those other great women that are doing some great things at the White House. I believe in them doing a great job. But again, this is wrong authority. This is wrong leadership. This was not ordained or done by God himself. So these things happen to Elijah. But see, we see something about Elijah. What happened to this man of faith and heroism? Why did he run? And have you ever had a similar situation in your own life where something came and distinctive and the enemy comes and he tries to overcome your life and the next thing you know, you find yourself running. Running away from the literally things what God wants in your life. You go to the darkness. You go to the enemy. You succumb to the evil things that the enemy always wants to tell you. I always get to have this in my own mind. Even this morning, as I'm sitting here speaking, the enemy always reminds me of my past instead of God, who tells me about a future. He reminds me about the mistakes that I've done in my life and the failures that have happened. But instead, God always reminds me of what can be and what He can do through me. I always pray that every morning when I get an opportunity to speak here on the radio, that God will give me strength and courage, not from me, but from above. Kazakh. I pray for Kazakh that God will help me so when I speak, I can speak with His authority. Not with authority from Mike Sarig, but the authority that God will instill in me that as I speak to you, that the Holy Spirit is truly speaking, and even today. And I just encourage you, if you think this morning is an intense morning, it is an intense morning because we're seeing the intensity on the life of Elijah. And I want to share with you this morning 5 reasons why this man ran. And we're going to look at those this morning as we just looked at the scripture of why he did. Number one, Elijah was not thinking realistically or clearly. See, Elijah became short-sighted and failed to consider the source of his threat. He didn't keep his eyes on God. God had just done an incredible thing for him in Mount Carmel. He runs also too just down the mountain and outruns a chariot of over 25 miles an hour of a distance of 17 miles. He's worn out. He can't move and he becomes short-sighted. In his short-sightedness, he gets afraid and he runs from the things. He's no longer thinking realistically or clearly. He becomes short-sighted, and sometimes we do that in our lives, don't we? We have the enemy come, and he bangs on us as we get exhausted from the day-to-day. There's moments in my life that I go at the end of the day-to-day that it's easy for me to get short-sighted and not keep my eyes on Jesus Himself. And when I do that, I don't think clearly, and those are some of the moments I make the greatest mistakes. The relationships, I say things when I shouldn't. I don't look at the greater perspective of down the road, and I get caught up in the moment. And when you get caught up in the moment, folks, that's when a lot of times when we have those disagreements, especially with our loved one or a spouse or some things that are going on in our lives, when really the bigger, greater thing is, you know what, it will work itself out. But it's easy for us to get short-sighted. The second thing that Elijah does is Elijah separated himself from strengthening relationships. It says, we just read that he left his servant. Why? Because he got alone. He was exhausted to the point that he didn't want to have anybody around. You ever been around that before in your own life where you didn't want to have anybody around you anymore? You just want, leave me alone. And we've all had those moments where we want to be alone, but the problem is in the alone moments is that's when the enemy comes and he speaks into our lives. And I've experienced that ever since I've stepped down in full-time ministry. I found myself in moments of simply wanting to be separated from people themselves or just leave me alone at these moments. And I know that is just a straight, I'm just being honest with you. And sometimes that happens when you give yourself out. And when you do those things, that's when the enemy has his greatest attacks. The third thing that we'll see in Elijah's life is Elijah was caught in the backwash of a great victory. Our most vulnerable moments in our lives are when we experience great victories or a mountaintop experience with God. Our energies have peaked, our emotions have peaked, and both begin to slide. Isn't that so true? We have these things, these victories, and then all of a sudden we get this backlash, this backwash, and we're caught up in it. It's like an overcoming river, a flood that overtakes us, and no longer our energy has been pulled from us, is peaked, and we're absolutely emotionally worn out. You ever been that way before in your life? You were both physically, the energy was gone, the emotions have peaked, and you're just absolutely exhausted. The fourth thing we'll find Elijah was physically exhausted and was emotionally spent. For a moment of times, Elijah lived on the edge. He was looking over his back. He was a wanted man, public enemy number one. Matter of fact, there's a Greek saying that says this, you will break the bow if you keep it always bent. That's exactly what was happening in Elijah's life. He just comes doing these things, and all of a sudden he has this mountaintop experience on Mount Carmel where the fire comes down. And then also, too, he's in the intensity of his life. He's physically and emotionally spent because now he's just raced and beat King Ahab to the city gates. He's absolutely physically and emotionally exhausted, nothing left. The fifth thing we'll see in Elijah is Elijah got lost in self-pity. Self-pity is a pathetic emotion. It will lie and exaggerate every situation of your life. He comes to the point where he literally tells God, I've had enough. I can't go any further. Take my life. See, he's caught up in self-pity, and that's what happens a lot of times, especially when people go to the point of taking their lives, is because self-pity has overcome them, and no longer is there any hope that's left. And that's exactly because we see this in this great man. He was on the edge. He was on the point of, Lord, come and take me. No longer can I further go on. But let's keep going on 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 8, and read the rest of the story of what happens in this moment of this great prophet's life. Then he says in verse 5, then he lay down and slept under a broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lied down. Then the angel again from the Lord came and touched him. He said, get up and eat some more. Our journey ahead will be too much for you. I want you to underline that what the angel says here. It says, get up and eat some more. The journey ahead will be too much for you. He's encouraging him. And then in verse 8, so he got up, he ate, he drank the food, and gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to the cave and he spent the night. See, God provided for Elijah in his weakest moment, in his weakest moment of faith. The emotional fatigue, the physical hunger had overtaken him. And he gets to a point of exasperation where he's simply exhausted and passes out. You ever had those moments before? Again, have you just, man, it's weakest moments of faith, emotional fatigue, and physical hunger. Elijah finally, in exhaustion, laid down and fell asleep under a broom tree. He's spent. He can't go any further. But it's in those moments, folks, men and women of faith, hear me on this. God sent, as he sent an angel to Elijah, he sends angels in our ways to help us to get up from moments, to get back up and get back into the game. See, that's what the angel was doing. God provided. I love the portion where he's sitting there laying on his back. He's asleep and he wakes up and he has this hot bread sitting on hot coals. Only God does the miraculous things like that, and also has a jar of water there. Folks, God provides for us. Jesus provides for us in our lives. In the moments of exasperation, when we can't go any further, we're spent, we're taken out. Those moments of depression, folks, they're big and they're real. And we all fight moments of that. I don't care what kind of person you are. We all struggle with moments of depression. And I can remember in my own life, the greatest moments of depression that I ever had was when I was going through my divorce and my period of life. And I've shared with that multiple times, but I never went through greater moments of depression, of dark days in my life. I had moments like I could truly share where Elijah said, take me. I was there, folks. I had a time in my life where I simply said, God, I can't go any further. I've made enough mistakes. I can't do any more. Take me home. You ever been that way before? Lord, just come and take me. I can't take it anymore. But see, God is the God that does the miraculous in our lives, and it's not our time yet. So he sends people in our lives like angels. And sometimes actually angels do come and give us words of encouragement, gives us words of getting back up, getting back into the game. And folks, I just pray that today, maybe you're there. You're exhausted. You can't go a step further. I encourage you this. Sometimes it's good to simply get down out of your exhaustion and go and get some rest. Get away. Get some moments. You know what? Sometimes taking an afternoon nap isn't all bad when you are exasperated and you can't go any further. Maybe on a weekend, you simply get away. You tell your husband or your wife, you know what? I got to get away, I got to get rested, or simply you are at home and you say, I need a weekend of rest. And that's exactly what you do. You just rest. You go comatose. You allow God to work in your life. Those are all good things. But see, when God sent the angel again with the second wake-up call and he provided food and drink, he would strengthen Elijah for the journey. And folks, that's what I encourage you in the midst of the depression, because the enemy always wants to come and again tell us of who we're not. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy your life. That is his main objective, because you know why? Because we are the only beings of creation that God created in his own image. We are the most loved. Why? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you and your sins, just like he did for me. Only a God that cares that much would send his son to do such an incredible thing. And I pray this morning this gives you a word of encouragement, because now as we read, God gets Elijah ready for the journey and he'll supply and equip. See, Elijah obeys God and does exactly what the angel asked him without any questions. Again, he gets back up. He steps back into the moment. He sends because he's going to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Folks, he takes a 40-day hike. I believe that there's somebody listening to me this morning needs a journey to a Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where the Holy Spirit could come and speak to you and encourage you in your life. Folks, we all need moments of that, don't we, of encouragement. I oftentimes will get with my mentor. He's a good man of God, and he lives in another local town away from me. And even this week, we had some time. We had lunch. It was a quick lunch together, but it was a word of encouragement. He helped me, Mike, stay the course, stay in the game, keep pursuing doing Vital Ministries. It's not over. God is still working and doing incredible things in your life. Keep pushing on the Vital Gathering. My God wants to bring revival to your city. Folks, I believe that with all of my heart. That's why I keep reminding you about Vital Gathering that's coming on November 10th. I believe that God is bringing revival to our city, to our county, to our state, and to our nation. But folks, you got to believe and you got to trust God in it. And out of obedience, folks, I believe the Holy Spirit can come and can do a great thing and bring revival here. Because that's exactly what was going to happen to Elijah. Elijah was going to, as he goes, we're going to read about that next week, where he has this moment with God in the cave. God comes in a great miraculous moment and meets Elijah right where he is. That's exactly, I believe, that sometimes for us today, that God wants to meet us right where we are, folks. Maybe you're traveling down the highway and you're saying, Mike, man, I can attest to what you're saying. I am tired. I am worn. I want to give you a word of encouragement. The Holy Spirit can instill power in your life. He can do some incredible things for you, but you just have to trust him. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the moments of how your Father engaged with the great prophet Elijah and his weakness and his most exhausting moment the Father provided. And Jesus, we know you do the same thing for us. In our weaknesses, our insecurities, in our exhaustion, and even in our depression, you are there. You're mighty to help us. You're mighty to save, and you're mighty to help us keep our eyes. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us today. Maybe somebody out there that's listening this morning needs this teaching to be encouraged about what you can do. I pray, Holy Spirit, move. Move through these airwaves about somebody who's driving down. Maybe they're going on their way to a journey. They got some alone time in their vehicle today. Be with them, Holy Spirit. Maybe they're on their way to church. I pray as they get to the church that they get the opportunity, Holy Spirit, will you speak to them? You revive them in their soul. You get them fired back up to stay in the course. Or maybe somebody's sitting at home alone today listening. You're tired. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be with them today. Lord, you're mighty. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you do and how you empower us. In your precious holy name, Jesus, we honor and we love you. Amen. Folks, what a great, exciting time that we have. Next week, remember, we're going to talk about Elijah and the moment that he has on the mountain of God, where God speaks to Elijah and how he continues to speak in our lives even today. Folks, I hope this teaching has been a word of encouragement for you. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.